Welcome into the Amateur Hour Podcast Mock Draft. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Sam Vecini. We are on to the Denver Nuggets, who hold the seventh pick in the 2015 NBA Draft. We are joined by Nate Timmons from DenverStiffs.com. He also does a podcast, Colorado Sport, at ColoradoSportsGuys.com. Nate, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. We actually have the sun out here. It's been raining a lot, so it's nice to see the sun out in Denver.
I don't know what rain is. I live in Arizona.
Seriously, I'm surprised it's raining in Denver. When I lived in Denver for like 3 months, I think it rained all of like one time.
I think it's rained like 19 out of the past 24 days or something like that. It's been insane.
Jeez, that's rough.
But weather talk is always fun, right?
It's the small talk to get into the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So to start the podcast, we're going to play a little game with Nate. Since the Nuggets are in such a weird, like, just odd circumstance right now with so much turmoil with the roster. They don't even have a coach. Who knows what's going on there? We're going to play a game. I'm going to read down every guy on the Denver Nuggets roster and ask Nate if he will be back with the Nuggets next year. So let's start. Ty Lawson.
No.
Why no?
I just think that both Lawson and the Nuggets probably want a fresh start without each other, and I just see that parting ways, maybe on draft night, maybe afterwards.
Draft night would seem to be the smart place for me.
I have a self-serving question I'm going to ask you after we play this game.
Okay. Danilo Gallinari.
Yes. I think Gallo will be back based upon his age. He's only 26, plus his leadership ability. I mean, he was the guy last year that really stepped up after Brian Shaw was let go and really took over the team. So I definitely expect Gallo to be back.
Wilson Chandler.
Am I allowed to say maybe on these?
Yeah, sure.
I would say maybe with Chandler just for the fact that he's going into the final year of his contract. And, you know, on draft night again, if the Nuggets feel like they can make a couple package deals, he could be a guy that gets included. Although the team really likes him, and I think they want to bring him back. It's just if the opportunity presents itself to trade him, it could lead to him being out of town.
J.J. Hixon.
Unfortunately, probably yes on that. Everybody knows J.J. Hixon. I don't think anybody's going to take him in a trade, but if they did, a lot of Nuggets fans would be happy.
Free agent this year, but Darrell Arthur.
I don't see Darrell coming back just because of the logjam that's at power forward. You know, if they hold on to a guy, we'll get to Ken Fareed. Obviously, J.J. Hixon. If they're able to bring Nikola Jokic over, Nurkic, obviously. And I want to see Gallo play some power forward, too. So I think Arthur's going to move on, hopefully, to a contending team.
Randy Foy.
I think that's another maybe. The team has a non-guaranteed deal that they have to decide on by July 11th. And, you know, they like his voice in the locker room. Still a pretty productive player, but at the same time, I could definitely see them not bringing Foy back.
Jameer Nelson.
Yes, as long as he has a player option. If he wants to come back, I think the Nuggets very much want him back, again, for his production on the floor, but also his leadership ability. He's a veteran guy that, you know, really, I didn't think he was going to stay with the team past the trade deadline. I thought maybe he'd want to be moved on to a contender, but it sounds like he was pretty happy in Denver and getting to talk to him a little bit. I do expect him to be back.
I'll just combine these three guys, Joffrey Laverne, Yusuf Nurkic, Gary Harris.
I think that all three of those guys will be back, definitely.
That seems safe.
Yeah.
Any of the other fodder on this roster right now, or was on this roster, Will Barton, Ian Clark, Eric Green, I think Jamal Franklin's still there, right?
Yeah.
Any of those guys you see maybe stepping up into a rotation role next year?
I think the one guy of that group that definitely they want to bring back is Will Barton. I know Tim Connelly has known him for a long time. His brother, I think, coached him in Baltimore as a kid. They have a very good relationship, and they love his ability on the floor. So I expect them to try to bring Barton back, and hopefully he'll be back.
Okay, and then the last one is he's kind of the biggest one at this point. I know Ty Lawson's going to get a lot of publicity, but given that they just signed this guy to a big contract extension, it's kind of weird. They're in kind of a strange circumstance with him. Kenneth Fareed.
You know, I do think that he will be back with the team just because he's such a fan favorite, and they don't really have to move him. He's obviously just moving into the first year of his contract extension, and, you know, if they can talk him into coming off the bench, I think that's probably the sticking point. If they kind of lay out to him, you know, hey, we want to move you to the bench, he may say, get me out of here. But if he accepted that role, I could see them sticking with that at least during the season, maybe leading up to the trade deadline or something. But, I mean, that's a very interesting one and one that we're keeping tabs on as well.
Are you a fan of the Kenneth Faried contract?
I don't mind it, just considering, you know, the money that's going to be coming in with this new TV deal. I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, if they waited till this offseason, I don't know what he could have commanded on the open market. So I didn't mind it at the time, but, I mean, it's not great.
I think it's one of the worst contracts in the NBA.
I'm with Sam. I hated that contract, too.
It's also movable, though. I don't think it's unmovable.
It's not unmovable. I don't really think there's anything that's unmovable, really, in the league. I think that's a tough one to move, though.
Yeah, especially if you consider, you know, what kind of – obviously, they traded JaVale McGee on his terrible contract, but they had to give up a first-round pick to do it. So, again, you have to look at, you know, what kind of value could you get if you trade Faried, which, you know, might shock a lot of Nuggets fans thinking – we've seen a lot of talk that Nuggets fans think they might be able to get a lottery pick with a package surrounding Faried. And I don't know if that's a possibility or not. I don't necessarily see it as one.
Yeah, no, I don't think you'd get a lottery pick. I don't think you'd have to attach a pick necessarily. But, you know, he's a guy that he's going to be – he got, what, 450, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. 450 is a tough contract to move for a guy that doesn't really have a lot of offensive skill, not a good defender. Just doesn't really – he's a terrific player. He brings a lot of energy, and that energy is contagious. It, you know, helps the team – a lot, especially in the altitude, because it's tough for teams to keep up with him, really, in the altitude. It's hard to keep up with that energy that he's bringing night after night, but he just doesn't do enough for me, I don't think. He really doesn't.
And he'd be the perfect guy to come off the bench and just really, yeah. I mean, just outwork those second units. But again, you know, if we're looking at I look at Wilson Chandler. He's a sixth man making about $7 million a year. You know, that's kind of where you look at your top bench players, right? Like,
yeah.
Hopefully not double-digit millions. And then, you know, when we get into this new TV deal, though, is, you know, 11 to 12 million going to be the new norm for guys coming off the bench? I don't know.
For great sixth men, I think it might be. It's highly possible. I just think it's very, very – I don't even know that I consider Faried to be – that good is a sixth man. He'll bring energy. He'll bring scoring ability. He'll bring rebounding. But he's never posted a positive on-off score defensively. And typically, it's been something like the Nuggets have been 6 points better with him on the bench defensively than with him on the floor.
Right.
He's a really tough player to have on the floor with the way the NBA is going.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's, you know, part of the reason why if they found a trade for him, I wouldn't mind it because, again, I'd like to see Gallinari start at power forward if he's around next season.
Yeah, I think that's probably his best position. But that's not really what this podcast is for. This podcast is more of a draft-based podcast. So, Brian, what questions do you have for Nate?
Oh, I have a very important question. If the Nuggets wanted to make a trade, let's see. So you mentioned it a couple times that they could be interested in making a trade and some players that could be available. Say in the range from the fourth pick to the fourth pick, what kind of package do you think they would be willing to put together to move up three spots? And who do you think they would want to target if they were moving up to, say, the fourth pick?
You know, I think you look, obviously, with the Knicks, with Carmelo being, you know, in his 30s now, you would hope that, you know, with them not having a point guard, that maybe you could get them to bite on a package surrounding Ty Lawson. As a stubborn fan, I would hope that they could hang on to the seventh pick.
No. You can have – we'll take Lawson, but we need the seventh pick.
Right. And that's the hang-up, you know, is – you know, is Lawson plus the seventh pick too much for the fourth pick when basically players, you know, maybe 4 through 9 or 3 through 9 are all kind of question marks? I mean, I don't know how high up I'd want to move and how much I'd want to give up to move up three spots. But if they did move up with the Knicks, if they targeted the fourth pick, I think they'd be looking at a point guard to replace Lawson. And I think they'd be, you know, absolutely ecstatic if D'Angelo Russell was there. I don't see him being there at four. And I think they might, you know, they might have an interest in Emmanuel Mudiay too, but I don't know, you know, if it would be as strong of an interest to move Lawson plus the seventh pick to get a guy like Mudiay.
What about Chandler? If, say, that would that make it more appetizing if you kept the seventh, if you included the seventh pick and then you could use Lawson to get something else?
I think so. I think that would be a pretty ideal scenario from the Nuggets' point of view. Like, I don't know if the Knicks would budge on that, but I mean, that would be a lot more ideal, because then, yeah, you'd look at maybe you can talk to Kings into moving that sixth pick for Ty Lawson, and then you're really cooking with picks four and six.
Well, if me and you take over, I'll take over the Knicks, you can take over the Nuggets as general managers, and we could do that. I'll give you the fourth pick, and I'll take Wilson Chandler and the seventh pick from you, all right? So we'll just make that happen.
That's done. It's done deal.
So that's the thing that's happening in this mock draft. We already have a trade.
Well, yeah. Oh, I could have given, if you give me Lawson, we could make the, I have D'Angelo Russell. So if you give me Lawson, I'll give, and then I'll make the pick. We could do that if we wanted to. Are we going to allow that?
I will allow it.
If you give me Lawson in the seventh pick, I'll give you, I'll give you D'Angelo Russell.
I think that the Nuggets would be amenable to that. I think that would work out.
Well, there you go. But let's talk about what's going to be available around seven. At this point, say the Nuggets don't make that trade or are incapable of moving up or down in the draft. What guys intrigue you around that spot?
I'm really intrigued by Justice Winslow. I think that his all-around game, you know, being able to D up as well as, you know, attack. The way he attacks the rim is really intriguing. I went back and watched that 2014 Nike Hoop Summit game again, and he just made plays. You know, I mean, he was a youngster playing against his peers, but it just seemed like every time somebody was scoring that it was Justice Winslow. And I think he led everybody in scoring for that game, and he's just been very impressive as a playmaker as far as attacking the rim. And I do question, though, you know, his shooting ability. Is what we saw in the tournament going to translate? Is that going to be consistent? I think he's intriguing. I'm also very much intrigued with Mario Hezonja out of FC Barcelona. The Croatian is, you know, super talented. Been hearing a lot of things about his attitude. And, you know, some guys really think that he's just competitive and just wants to win and is a gym rat and a good guy. And, you know, that's very intriguing to me because I think the Nuggets need a guy that is, you know, somewhat psychotic about basketball and wants to be in the gym versus, you know, being in Las Vegas all the time.
Winslow and Gallo would be a really nice two. You get some offense and defense at the 3 and 4. I know Winslow isn't available here, but it sounds like he in the real draft that it's possible he could be around based on the mock drafts. A lot of them I've seen have him going to the Nuggets at 7. That would be a combination of players I would really like also. I think that could be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think so too, and another guy that, you know, we've kind of bantered about on our website is Willie Cauley-Stein, and, you know, I could kind of see if the Nuggets went absolutely crazy and traded Yusuf Nurkic and put together some weird package and then drafted Cauley-Stein at 7, you know, that would be an interesting one too, just because Denver wants to play up and down, and, you know, I'm kind of looking at guys that fit that mold that really get out and can play defense but also play in transition. And, you know, another guy there would probably be Stanley Johnson, who I'm curious about. He's kind of got some weird mechanics on his shot, but, you know, he's an intriguing player as well and a big body, kind of like Winslow.
Yeah, I think that Cauley-Stein is very interesting for them because he fits both next to Nurkic, I think. That would be a weird offense. You'd kind of fall into the same problems offensively that they have with Fareed right now. But he'd also defend just heaps better than Kenneth Fareed would be able to. He fits as a weak side rim protector next to Nurkic. You'd be able to use him in pick and roll defense. You'd be able to match him up against a tougher defensive player with Nurkic on the floor. That's a very intriguing fit to me for the Nuggets. And plus, like you said, if they decided to trade Nurkic, that's a very, very good fit for them at center because they do want to play up and down. He'd be pretty much a perfect fit for, instance, Mike D'Antoni's offense.
Right. And, you know, I think obviously saying speculating about trading Nurkic is probably, you know, I think he's the most untouchable guy on the roster, but
I think he should be.
Right. And it is intriguing though. I mean, that, you know, Cauley-Stein is definitely an intriguing option, but you know, I do think if Mario makes it there to seven, I do think the Nuggets will go ahead and take him. I think that the upside, the ceiling of him would be very intriguing to them, plus the mentality aspect, which I know the Nuggets are very familiar with Mario. They saw him play overseas a handful of times. I believe they most undoubtedly have talked to him by now. So I think that would be a very intriguing pick.
Quick question. How many languages have you learned to speak having to deal with the Nuggets?
Zero, unfortunately, but it definitely would be nice if I picked up a few.
I mean, they have Gallinari, who is Italian right now. They draft everybody, basically, from any international country at this point. They have Jokic coming over. Who else did they take? They ended up trading for LaVerne, but that was a draft night trade, correct?
Yeah.
They have Turki Yılmaz even over there at some point who might come over. Who else is on that roster right now? Nurkic, a couple other guys, right?
Yeah, and even Eric Green, he played in Italy, which would have been his rookie season, and he picked up some Italian as well, which him and Gallo would share a little bit of. But you know, it's intriguing going that way. I kind of like the fact that they're scouring the prospects overseas, and you know, that's kind of where the Nuggets cut their teeth, especially Tim Connelly. He spent plenty of time overseas, and you know, they have Rafi Juke, an international scout who does a great job, and Arturis Karnasovas, the assistant general manager, is a legend in Lithuania. If you go anywhere with him there, you're going to get mobbed. So, you know, just having those connections and making connections, the Nuggets, I think, are very well scouted overseas, and I don't know how many other teams, honestly, have as many connections as they do.
Do you want Melvin Hunt back as the head coach, or would you prefer them bring someone outside in?
No, I really like Melvin. I got to know him over the years covering the team and just getting to talk with him and hear his story, you know, kind of how he grew up and where he came from. And, you know, he played at Baylor. I really like him. He's a guy that always is a glass half full, which is a complete contrast from Brian Shaw, who is always a glass half empty guy. So I do think Melvin would be very good, especially, you know, he's 45 years old. The Nuggets are looking for a guy that doesn't want to just take this job and then move on to something else. You know, they want a guy that's going to be able to grow with the team, and Melvin, to me, is a perfect fit in that scenario. He's also a guy that understands the modern NBA game of playing in space and wanting to play defense to lead into your transition, which is something that George Karl used to preach as well. I just don't know if the Nuggets are going to give Hunt a shot if they're able to lure somebody like Mike D'Antoni into town.
So D'Antoni's an option. What other names do you think will be in the mix for this job?
I honestly think that it's between those two. There might be a dark horse candidate that we're unaware of, and like Tim Connelly told us, you know, he wants the Nuggets to announce the coaching hire and have everybody be surprised. Like, they don't want any leaks to get out there, and they're pretty tight-lipped for the most part until something actually happens. But my feeling on the situation, my read on it, is that it's between Melvin Hunt and Mike D'Antoni.
D'Antoni's weird. It's almost like he has his he's very controversial. He has his defenders, and then he has the people who absolutely love him. I actually think it's somewhere in the middle. He has flaws that are definitely an issue. If you think back to his last three jobs, Pau Gasol couldn't stand him, Melo couldn't stand him, and Melo couldn't stand him in the last two places. And Amari's relationship with him was pretty weird also. And that's part of the job of being an NBA head coach, is being able to relate to your best players and getting them to do what you want them to do. And if he can't do that, that's a real issue and a real concern going forward. But he also has some good things, like the offense he runs is excellent, and he has had prior success in the league. So I don't know really what to think of D'Antoni, and I'm not sure if the Nuggets is the right situation I'd want to throw him into.
You know, especially if you consider if they trade Ty Lawson, you know, what kind of point guard are they going to give a guy like D'Antoni, who's, you know, obviously very favorable to good point guards. And, you know, he is familiar with Danilo Gallinari, you know, having played basketball with his dad overseas. They were teammates, as well as coaching him with the Knicks and Wilson Chandler. So there is some intrigue there. I'm with you, though. I'm kind of on the fence. I see the good and the bad. And, you know, I'd be very curious to see how he would use guys like Yusuf Nurkic, Joffrey Laverne, Nikola Jokic, who'd be coming over. Gary Harris needs development. That's kind of where I'm kind of stuck. I don't know how long his track record is for developing guys and, you know, who he's had success, you know, kind of bringing up and turning into real players. But, you know, obviously there's, you know, Sean Marion, Joe Johnson, there's guys down the list you can look at. And especially that Knicks team that he had with Amare, Ray Felton, Chandler Gallo, and Landry Fields, that was an exciting team to watch until they made that Carmelo Anthony trade. And, you know, I was a fan of that Knicks team.
They were mediocre. They were about a 500 team, but he did do well with Gallo and Wilson Chandler. I'd say those were two positives for him, as he did develop them and they did grow under his tutelage.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of Mike D'Antoni. I think he'd be pretty terrific in a lot of situations. We did talk a little bit beforehand about he does tend to run a short rotation, which would be interesting in Denver given the altitude questions. I think he could really work for this roster. I do. It would be a weird circumstance because we did just call Yusuf Nurkic the most untouchable guy on this roster, and if you hire D'Antoni, you should probably move Yusuf Nurkic and get whatever you can at that point. It becomes interesting then, too, with Ty Lawson, because I think Lawson's pretty much the perfect point guard for what he does.
Yeah.
That would be a really, really fun situation to watch. One of the best fast break point guards in the league playing Mike D'Antoni's offense. I would love that. I think that Ty Lawson could become like a top 6 to 7 point guard in the league under Mike D'Antoni. At that point, you'd almost be hoping to get one of Hezonja, Porzingis, Willie Cauley-Stein, I would say, in the draft, just because even though Willie Cauley-Stein can't shoot, he's a really good defender and can anchor defenses for Mike D'Antoni. D'Antoni's defenses were always a little bit underrated in Phoenix, I thought. He got credit mostly for his offenses, but his defenses were, you know, they were mostly weren't horrible. They were mostly pretty okay given how fast they played. The question that I guess I would have at this point is, do you think that the same principles come into play if you do hire Melvin Hunt? You're still looking for about the same prospects, right?
I think so. I'm more curious as to if they hired Melvin Hunt, you know, would they try to sell off some of the veteran players? I know the Nuggets don't want to go too young either, although they're already a pretty young team when you look at, you know, the younger dudes on the roster. So I don't quite know. It feels like if they hired D'Antoni, they'd be trying to obviously make a push forward with what they have. And if they went with Melvin Hunt, I feel like that they would be more open to, you know, going a little bit younger and exploring some options in the draft coming up, and as well as next year when they have the right to swap picks with the Knicks.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty good one for them, it seems like. I can't really see a circumstance where the Knicks end up really being much more than maybe the 7th pick next year.
They're winning the NBA championship. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
But again, I mean, if the Nuggets trade Ty Lawson, they might not even have to exchange picks with the Knicks because they might be a lot worse than New York next year.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a roster that really can go either way. They're in a really weird, strange spot. That's why I wanted to play that game earlier, like in that I don't really know what's going to happen with this team, and a lot of it depends on what they end up hiring, who they pick in this draft, but it's just a very tough situation. They could decide to try and compete with what they have, a la the Hawks, or they could try and just tear it all down and trade Lawson for maybe like the 14th pick in this draft, 15th pick in this draft, and just roll from there. It's a really tough call, I think, for this organization.
And I know they want to hire a coach before the draft, and I think they'll probably get a coach hired within the next week or two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Conley told us that the direction of the team will be crystal clear by the time the draft is over. So we should have some answers because we've been waiting for them, like you said, Sam. We've been waiting for answers as Denver fans here since the Carmelo Anthony trade, basically.
How do they consider Gary Harris as more of a combo guard, or do they want to try and turn him into more of the lead point guard?
I think they view him as a shooting guard. His handle's been a little bit questionable, and he just is more of a natural shooting guard to me. When he gets the ball, he looks to score, and I don't see him as a passer and a playmaker in that regard.
Yeah, I agree with Nate. I think that Harris's best role is probably going to be as a 3-and-D guy who can guard both guard positions, but probably needs to play next to a real point guard, hopefully a bigger point guard, I would say. So that you can kind of utilize Harrison's defensive versatility to guard both guard positions. But his ability to shoot is very good. He's a solid slasher. He has, like, okay wiggle on his handle. I like Harris a lot, and I think that in the right situation with the right pieces around him, if you can find, like, a big three that's, you know, okay defensively, if you could find a big point guard next to him, he could really succeed.
You guys follow this stuff really closely with the, you know, college players transitioning to the NBA. What do you guys feel about Gary Harris's shooting percentages, and when should Nuggets fans start to worry about low percentages?
I wouldn't be worried. His form on his shot's okay. He's a very good shooter, I think. It's just a weird thing that happened this year. I know he shot something like, what, 25%? Somewhere in that range. It's the finishing near the rim. I want to say he was really bad at that this year. That's something that you should probably be concerned about, because he's not big. He's not very physical. He will probably struggle around the rim, I would say. But the shooting from deep, that's going to come around. I wouldn't be too worried about that.
The more we talk about this, it seems like, especially with the law, it sounds like Lawson's going to be moved, that Moutier really makes a lot of sense for them, because he'd be a nice fit next to Harris. He's that big point guard with handle that can create, whether it's Hunt or D'Antoni, he could be the replacement for Lawson in the up-tempo, very pick-and-roll heavy offense. And then that seems like a good fit.
I think so, too. I think Moutier, you know, him being a strong pick-and-roll player would be highly beneficial to the Nuggets. You know, even talking with Eric Green last season, he was, you know, mentioning conversations he had with Ty Lawson where the NBA is such a heavy pick-and-roll league, as we all know. You know, a guy like Moutier in D'Antoni's system, if he was the coach, could really thrive, you know, maybe even his rookie season, if he really picked it up quickly, or maybe in year two, year three. But that would be a very intriguing pick. And if Moutier was there at 7, I think the Nuggets would not hesitate to take him.
If the Nuggets got Moutier and D'Antoni for whatever reason, Moutier would be my rookie of the year pick. Pretty much unquestionably, I would say. He'd be a guy that would put up stats pretty quickly. He's used to playing the physical brand of basketball because of the Chinese League. Chinese League is regarded as a very physical league where he'll be used to the pounding that that rookie guards take. He's a big physical guy. He operates well in the pick and roll. And plus, that fit would just be perfect as far as if they can get D'Antoni or even with Melvin Hunt. I think Melvin Hunt would probably run some similar concepts at least. And that would make Moutier a pretty solid bet at that point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And especially when Hunt took over, you know, his first thing he did was move Fareed to the 5 and put Gallo in at power forward. So he definitely understands the spacing aspect as well as the high pick and roll. So yeah, Moutier sounds great to me.
All right, do we have anything else for Nate, Brian? I don't know. That was pretty solid.
I think we pretty much went through everything we possibly could. Oh, let me ask you this. We'll finish off with this before you officially make the pick. Is there a positive or negative vibe in Denver around this Nuggets team right now?
It's a negative vibe around the Nuggets, most definitely. People question or are really starting to question ownership, the front office, the direction of the team. The rumor that came out just the other day about, you know, Ty Lawson and Ken Fareed perhaps wanting out if the Nuggets don't make some significant changes. You know, we saw a lot of readers, a lot of people on Facebook really taking it to both Lawson and Fareed, saying, if you don't want to be here, get out of here. So there's a real negative vibe around the team right now. But, you know, like we've outlined in this conversation, it could get positive pretty quickly if they, you know, make a couple of right picks, a couple of right trades, right plays, and really start moving in a different direction.
So why don't you go ahead and that direction. Part of it's going to be their seventh pick in the draft. Who do you select?
Seventh pick with what you guys have in front of me there, we're taking Emmanuel Mudiay out of China.
You know, it's crazy. I don't think he's going to last till seven, but I also don't think it's at the realm of possibility. Because as you said, like 3 through 9, 3 through 8, there's so many different directions these teams can go. I think it's going to be one of those years where when we look at the back at these mock drafts, people are going to be like, whoa, a lot of people got things wrong just because it's so hard to decipher where, and there's so many different options.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's going to make for a very interesting draft night on June 25th.
Yeah, I think we're going to see, for some reason, we haven't seen this in a while, where there's been a lot of movement in the top 10, but I think that there's a good chance we're going to see some movement in the top 10 as far as trades, just because I think there are a lot of guys that they're incomplete prospects that fit in a lot of different situations, but I think you're going to see front offices fall in love with specific guys as compared to others, and they're going to want to move up to get their guy, and then some other teams might think more that they can get some decent depth in this draft, and they'll be able to get some get value basically at 8. And I think there is good value at 7 or 8 in this draft, even 9 or 10 in this draft. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and especially when you consider the Nuggets, you know, with the assets they have in the cupboard, plus that 7th pick, you know, they could be the team that kind of sets things off if they fall in love with a guy, like you're saying, that's maybe just out of their reach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good stuff, Nate. Appreciate it. You have anything you'd like to plug before you get out of here?
You know, we've been going through and going through our own draft prospects on Denver Stiff. So if you want to see the breakdowns on, you know, our site, we got Frank Kaminsky coming up today. Look at how he would fit with the Nuggets, his strengths, his weaknesses, all that good stuff. So, yeah, check out our site, and we'll be sure to keep reading and listening to you guys as well.
All right.
Sam, Brian, I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you for joining us, Nate. Go over to denverstiffs.com. And that concludes another edition of the Amateur Hour podcast mock draft.